So if somebody is in such great pain, they come to the temple for the first time, and they're just not able to take any kind of Krishna conscious practice. So how can we best help them at that time? Yeah. Sometimes the best way to preach is to not preach. Yeah, there was Prabhupada was staying, the devotees, early days of our movement, the devotees were staying in a building, and it was like a two-part apartment, a two-part complex. So on the other side there was an old lady staying. And this old lady was always complaining, hey, these people, these cult people, they make so much noise and this and that. So she was complaining to the local municipality authorities and what. And the devotees were having a lot of trouble because of her. And for devotees, it's very convenient that anybody who opposes them, anybody who troubles them, they're demons. So they said, Prabhupada. Prabhupada, when Prabhupada came in, this old woman, she's a demon. She's troubling us so much. She's not allowing us to do kirtan. She's complaining about it. So then Prabhupada had gone for a morning walk. And Prabhupada came back, and instead of going back to the temple side, the center side, he went to the other side. And he went and talked with that lady. And it's typical old people talk. How are you? Where are your children? How is your health? And almost 15-20 minutes, Prabhupada was talking with her. And the devotees were thinking, now Prabhupada will talk about Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada did not speak even one word. And then he finished the interaction and he came back. And there's a big question mark on all the devotees' faces. And Prabhupada just looked at them gently and says, sometimes old people get lonely. And that makes them irritable. So, and Prabhupada left after that. And then this old lady came, hey, your Swami, he's such a nice person. So, he dropped her opposition afterwards. So actually, Prabhupada brought her closer to Krishna without speaking even one word about Krishna. So sometimes, we just, we empathize with people where they are. Yes, as I said earlier, we just give them if we have the time, if we have the inclination, then we just give them an understanding heart, understanding ear, and that may be the time when just the relationship is developed. That may not be the time when their devotion starts in the external sense of they started bhakti practice. But that is the time when their relationship with the devotee starts. Usually bhakti begins with Agyan Sukriti. Agyan Sukriti means unknowing good deed. It's unknowing appreciation. So if somebody meets a devotee and they feel, I met a nice person. Then they may later come and then they may start practicing bhakti. So it's like, say, if we are traveling by flight, if somebody, there's a doctor who's traveling by flight, and the doctor meets some other person, and the doctor talks nicely with that other person. Now that person may not feel the need for the doctor right now. But they feel, oh, I met a good doctor. And later they feel the need, and they will come to that doctor. So, that just establishing a relationship at that time can be the beginning of their devotion. Now, having said that, that we need to be understanding and need to hear, we also have to, at some particular point of time, recognize that everybody who is distressed may not be receptive for Krishna. So sometimes, some people, they become very emotionally clingy. Just keep clinging on. Whenever they meet a devotee, all that they want to do is just download all the negativity that is there within them. They want to download the negativity which is inside them, but they don't want to take any positivity from us. They'll come and tell all the problems that they have. But if you tell them, come for a program, no, I don't have time. If that's what they are doing, then we cannot entertain that. Ultimately, we want to help them. And the way we can help them is by connecting them with Krishna, by helping them to raise their consciousness. So they have to show some interest in raising consciousness. So we, in the first interaction, we might just, as I said, just be empathic. be there for them, try to understand them and develop a relationship. And later on they may become more receptive where they can hear about Krishna. But if they're not, if the only time they come to us is when they're in distress and they're not ready to follow the process of bhakti, then we have to understand that they're not yet ready for bhakti. Now we might just give them some prasad and just give them some more ajnana sukriti, but we need not spend time with them at that time. Not all distress will be an impetus for the practice of bhakti. It depends on a lot of factors. It depends on that person's receptivity, depends on that person's situation, it depends on the potency of the person who is sharing with them. Primarily, it depends on that person's level in their spiritual evolution. So, if distress alone were the impetus for bhakti, all the people in the hospitals would be chanting Hare Krishna. At the least, all the doctors would be practicing bhakti. The doctors see distress all the time. But no, it doesn't happen. So, distress can be a starting point for people to explore spirituality. But for them to persevere, they need to have some kind of spiritual inclination. So if they don't have, then we just create the foundation for that by giving them some ajnana sukriti. Thank you.